Morning. Today's daf and brachos mem vav. We are on the very top mem vav amid aleph with the first words of the daf. Seventh perek of brachos dedicated to the topic of benching. We started the seventh perek yesterday. We discussed the basic parameters of birchos hamazon, specifically in the context of zimun. When three people are eating together, so now there is not just a mitzvah of benching, but there's a mitzvah of benching bezimun. Yesterday we went over the sources of these halachas. Where in the Pesukim do we see them? The Gemara quoted a pasuk from Tehillim. Gemara quoted a pasuk from Devarim. They're not absolute drashas. The Torah doesn't say it explicitly that you have to bench with a zimun, but certainly alluded to in the Torah the idea that one person speaks to two, and when you have a total of three people, so now there's an opportunity to make this this collective benching, the zimun. There's zimun, there's super zimun. Super zimun, which was going to come up a little bit later in the Masechta, a little later in this parak, and that's when you have 10 people eating together. So then you have an opportunity to not only make a zimun, but say Shem Hashem in the zimun itself.
Is that midaraisa or midarabanan?
Zimun is daraisa, midarabanan is a great question. I don't. It's good. It's also the source of the question. Is also good, but I don't know. It's not clear. Okay, that's the basic topic of discussion that we had around, and now we're going to be dealing with some very basic questions over the course of today. We're going to be talking about who should be the one making the emotzi of the members of the seuda, who should be making the zimun. I know everyone already has an opinion on that, but we practice this on a regular basis. We're going to talk a little bit about the parameters of zimun. When does zimun end? When does it begin? Or like go in the other direction. When does it begin? When does it end? We're going to speak today about Tov Ameitiv, the fourth bracha of benching, right? The mysterious fourth bracha of benching, and a couple of other topics over today. And the final topic today is Persian conduct. Okay, we need to know. Yeah, well, the Persians will be here by the time we talk about Persian conduct. I'm sure about it. The Gemara starts off as follows: Rabbi Zera Chalash, so Rabbi Zera gets sick. Ala Gabe Rabbi Abahu. So Rabbi Abahu goes, pays a visit to Rabbi Zera, fulfilling the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Kaba Aleha, imitpach ketina chrichsaka avina yamitav l'rabanan. And Rabbi Abahu was so insistent that he was not only going to daven for Rabbi Zera, but if Rabbi Zera gets better, now he refers to him by a nickname. He refers to him as ketina chrichsaki, the short one with the burnt legs. That is an unusual nickname to describe anybody. So momentarily, I'm going to explain where that nickname comes from. But if that guy gets better, if Rabbi Zera gets better, so then I'm going to make a yenter for the Chacham, and I'll sponsor Kiddush. And now I'm going to invite everybody to Kiddush. It'll be a sit-down Kiddush. So Itzbach. So in fact, Rabbi Zera did in fact get better. Navatsu daslo kula rabbanan. And he made a yenter for everybody. So another word, yenter. Yeah, in other words, good. It was a sudas hodata Kadosh Baruch Hu that Rabbi Zera in fact recovered from his illness. Kimat l'mishre. So he wanted to break bread. Amalei l'Rabbi Zera lishrolan mar. So he puts the bread over to Rabbi Zera and says, "Okay, nu, you'll make motzi." Amalei lo sav l'amar lahadar of Yochanan da amar balabais botzea. Now I'm not the balabais of Rabbi Zera. I'm just simply a guest. Meaning this is a suda soda that you sponsored. Let's assume that's in Rabbi Abahu's home, and you're the one who should be making motzi. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan taught us that the balabais should be making motzi. Okay, now why should that be? We're going to see in just a moment why that should be. So Shar Lahu, okay, fine. So Rabbi Abahu made motzi. Kimat levruche. Now came time for benching. Amar le nivrachlan mar. So he says, okay, now you're the one who's going to bench for us. Presumably it was appointed to Rabbi Zera. So Amar le losev la mar lahad Rav Huna de min Bavel. Now you didn't hear what Rav Huna min Bavel said. Rav Huna min Bavel. Now I haven't yet explained the nickname of Rabbi Zera, but Rav Huna min Bavel means Rav Huna. Why is he called Rav Huna de min Bavel? Because this story took place in Eretz Yisrael. This story, look at the principal players in the story. Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Abahu, Rabbi Yochanan. So these are, we're telling a story that occurred in Eretz Yisrael, presumably. And so when we're talking about Rav Huna now, everything's perspective. You know Rav Huna from Bavel. We know him better as Rav Huna, because we're in Talmud Bavli. Okay. So, Lahad Rav Huna de min Bavel, da Amar Boseh Mevarech. And he says that the Botzei Hashem Mevarech V'yu Kaman Tzvirle. Sorry. Botzei Mevarech. So it should be the one who broke bread. So he should be the one benching as well. And this actually goes back to what we learned shortly, not so long ago, where the idea is that once you're on a roll, so keep going. So, right, we talked about the Mugmar by the Sugya of, that was Daf Mem Gimel. So who should be making the brachas over the mugmar? So he said that the one who was benching, the one who was making the final bracha on the koshal yayin, so he should be making the bracha on the mugmar. So once you got it going, so that's it, just keep going. So over here, if you made motzi, so you should bench as well. Now the Gemara says v'iu kaman svirle. Now he doesn't agree, and who does he hold? Like he had damar v'yochan, amishum rabbi shimon ben yochai, balabais botseav arich mevarich. So he quotes in the name of the Rashbi, and it's interesting. Rav Yochanan here is quoting in the name of the Rashbi. Rav Yochanan quotes the Rashbi numerous times. We saw in brachos. I don't have a count, but a lot of times Rav Yochanan quoted the Rashbi. So and I don't think they had a direct connection with each other historically, but regardless, the observation is still true. Anyway, so he quotes the name of the Rashbi. Arech mevarach balabais botzeya kedeshiav seya be'an yafe. So it is the Arech's. The Baal Bais is going to be Motzei. He's going to one who's going to make Motzi. And it's the guest who's going to be the one who's going to be leading in the benching. He'll be leading the Zimun. Baal Bais, we'll get to that. Baal Bais, Motzei HaKadosh, Sheyiv Seba and Yafe. Now, as far as the Baal Bais is concerned, we want him to break bread and make Motzi because he's the one who's then going to give up portions. Now, imagine if it's a guest who's given the bread and has to make Motzi. He's not going to take a huge piece. It's not his bread. And he's a guest. He's certainly entitled to eat it, but it's not his. So he's not going to he's not going to give out generous pieces. If the Baal Bais is there breaking his own bread, so he's going to give out generous pieces. Good. Orech mevarech deshiyavarech Baal Bais. Now, why should it be the Orech, the one leading Zimun? Because it'll give him the opportunity to bench the Baal Bais. Mai mevarech, and what is the bracha that's going to be given from the Orech, who's going to be leading the Zimun, to the Baal Bais? The Gemara here gives us the nusach. The Baal Bais shouldn't be embarrassed in this world, not in the next world as well. Now Rabbi had additional nusach to this bracha. And he should have success in all of his enterprises. And that all his businesses should be close by. And he need not travel in order to conduct his business. And Satan should not interfere, not with his works, not with our works. I use daker or use dakek, lo lefanav, lo lefanenu, shum devar hira chet ve'avera ve'avon, me'ata v'ad olam. And there should be, the Yetzirah should not interfere, and we should be prevented from falling into temptation of the Yetzirah. Okay, that is the bracha that is given from the Oreach to the Baal Bais. Some benchers have it, some benchers don't have it. Even in the benchers that don't have it, why benchers don't have it? Meaning, again, I go back to a point that we've said already a number of times. We don't get that much nusach here in the Gemara and Brachos regarding our tefillos. Some, but not a lot. Here you have the Gemara outlining, like, this is it. This is the nusach that was instituted by Tanaim. So why is it that some benchers simply don't have it? Even the ones that don't have it have some sort of version of this, but not the version that's listed over here. So, I don't know. Two times today, we're going to see Nusach, and we're going to see that it just simply is not employed. In this example, some benchers do have it. Okay, certainly it'd be recommended to say the version that's in the Gemara. That's obviously a sourced version. And another Nusach we're going to see later this morning, which we don't say at all. And that's going to be a mystery in terms of why we don't say it at all. But anyway, so fine. So where do we stand right now in the Gemara? Question of who should be the one making motzi, who should be the one benching? And the Gemara's conclusion is that the Baal Bais should be making motzi, and the Oreach should be, any of the guests, the Baal Bais will make the decision who, but any of the guests should be benching so that he has an opportunity to say the specific bracha to the Baal Bais. I bypassed the nickname. So Rabbi Zeira was the one who got this whole story rolling, and he got sick, and he was referred to as the short one with the burnt legs. That's a unusual nickname, and it's based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Rashi on the top just simply tells us where to look it up. You look up over the story over there. It's a really remarkable story regarding Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira made Aliyah. Right, a number of the Amorim made Aliyah. Right, earlier in the Masechta we talked about other Amorim. Rav Yehuda was opposed to the idea, not because for his lack of love of Eretz Yisrael. We just saw on Daf Mem Gimel he loved Eretz Yisrael. He really loved Eretz Yisrael. He felt that by order, by instruction, the Jews of Bavel are not supposed to go back to Eretz Yisrael until a Navi comes back and reports that they should go back. Okay? So anyway, right. Rabbi Zera, however, made Aliyah. And when he made Aliyah, so he found that there's the yeshiva in Bavel and there's the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And what he discovered is that the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, he was more impressed with their Torah and their yeshiva. And so what he did is he forgot all the Torah he learned in Bavel in order to learn the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. It's a really interesting maneuver. How did he forget it? See the Gemara in Bava Metzia for a description of that. Anyway, it involved a lot of fasting, a tremendous amount of fasting. It's in of itself, it's just an interesting story. The and not only that, but he also fasted for Slicha Mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he very unusual personality. And in order to make sure that he was free of any chataim, so what he would do is he would test himself on a regular basis. He would go into the furnace and see whether or not the coals of the furnace would burn his feet. And if it didn't burn his feet, he saw that he was totally forgiven. There was an occasion once where, for whatever reason, the Gemara over there gives details, the furnace burnt his feet. And so he went around now with the nickname of Katina, the short one, Chrich Saki, with the burnt legs. Okay. Let's continue the Gemara. We're in the middle of Mem Vav Amud Aleph, Ad Heichem Birchas HaZimun. Now, up until what point in time is Birchas HaZimun? Now, the Gemara's question over here is not particularly clear. Well, I'm going to present the Gemara now like Rashi. And we'll come back to ask some very basic questions on Rashi. Rashi says like this. Look, as we now established in day two of the seventh parak of the Masechta, we know that there is a individual benching when you're not with a Zimun, and then there is benching with Zimun. Now, benching with a Zimun gives us an additional amount to say. Again, Rabbi Sain Avarech is just simply the preamble. Yishem Hashem Avarech Metav Yerolam. More preamble. And then comes the Zimun. That's also more preamble. And then Nivarech. Now, if there are 10, Elokeinu. And if there is not, Sha'achanu Mishalov. So Nivarech, Sha'achanu Mishalov, that's the Zimun. And then everyone responds, Baruch Sha'achanu Mishalov, Tuvo Chayinu. Good. And that response we learned in yesterday's daf. Now, if you didn't know the Gemara right now, and if you didn't see any discussion, here's what we all would have said. Ad Kan Zimun. Right? That's the end of Zimun. What are we doing now from this point going forward? Now we're benching. Meaning, as I pointed out yesterday, the benching is still going to qualitatively be different benching, because now it's not benching a biyachid, it's benching b'zimun. But in other words, if you and I were to put in the mark of where zimun has come to an end and where benching begins, so we would have said right there, after Nevarech Sha'achanu Mishalov, and then everyone's response, Baruch Sha'achanu Mishalov Tuvo Chayinu, Ad Kan Zimun. That's what you and I would have said. Okay, now with that stated, the Gemara is going to be discussing, and again, I'm presenting the Gemara like Rashi. The Gemara is going to be discussing and debating where exactly is the line of where Zimun has ended and the regular benching now begins. And the Gemara says like this. Rav Nachman amar ad nevarech. So Rav Nachman says nevarech. That's what I just described. And Rav Sheshes amar ad hazan. And Rav Sheshes says no. It's ad hazan. Now when he says ad hazan, what he means is the end of the first bracha. Hazan is hakol. That's the end of Zimun. Now, if you're thinking about it, you realize, well, what does that mean? If, let's say, we're not benching Bezimun, and we're benching individually, so that means that according to Rav Sheshes, where's the starting point of benching going to be? It's going to be a Noda? Is that what Rav Sheshes is saying? So, according to Rashi, the answer is yes. That's right. Now, without addressing the basic issues, let's just read through the Gemara first, and then we'll come back and we'll ask the obvious questions.
Doesn't Zimun need to invite?
Yes.
So if you're inviting, why would the first bracha be an invitation? It's a bracha.
Right. But according to Rav Sheshes, as Rashi's presenting it, it's part of Zimun. Okay. I know the position is really hard to. We'll ask the questions afterwards. Name a ketanai. So the Gemara suggests that maybe there's a machlokes tanaim. It's ni chada because one brisa taught us. Birchas amazon shalim v'shlosha. The benching is 2 and 3. And then v'tanyidach and another brisa, shlosha v'arba'am. And another brisa, benching is 3 and 4. Now, these numbers obviously are modifying. What are they modifying? So according to Rashi, they're modifying the number of brachos. Now, that's a little bit difficult. Here comes a little grammar. That's a little bit difficult because the numbers that are presented over here is belashon zachar. It's in the masculine form. Remember numbers? The opposite of the rest of Lashon HaKodesh? Lashon HaKodesh, when it ends with a patachay, it's nekeva. Except for numbers. Okay, so what's there are not that many exceptions in the Hebrew language, right? Think about the English language and how many exceptions are there. So fine. So in terms of numbers, so shlosha is lashon zachar. If it's modifying a bracha, which is Rashi's understanding, wrong gender, right? Bracha is obviously a lashon nekeva. If a number is used to modify a bracha, what number should be used? Not shlosha, shalosh. Shalosh brachos. Okay, good. So now, with that stated, so the Girsa is a little bit difficult, but if you look at Rashi, it's not difficult for Rashi, because just look at the Dibur HaMaskal Rashi, right? What numbers does he use? Shalosh, Arba. In other words, his Girsa was Lashon Nekeva. Okay. So anyway, so Savru Dekule Amma, I'm sorry. Now, so we have two Brisas. Brisa number one, again, we're reading the Gemara like Rashi. Brisa number one says that there are how many brachas of benching? Two or three. Brisa number two says, how many brachas are there of benching? Three or four. Now, Savru Dekule Amma Tova Meitiv Lav Daraisi. So the last bracha of benching, Atova Meitiv, take that off the table. It's not a bracha Daraisa, it's a bracha Darabana. It was attached later on. Okay, so now, what are we left with? So my lab bahakamiflagi. So the machlokus revolves around the following: Manda Amrishlam Mushalosh Kasavar Ad Hazan. The one who says two and three. By the way, parenthetical note: look at the Girsa of the Gemara that we have right now. It's Shtay Mushalosh in the Lashon Nekeva, right? That's good. Meaning that's exactly what Rashi wanted to see. So anyway, Shtay Mushalosh Kasavar Ad Hazan. So he says that Shtay Mushalosh means like follows: where does Zeman take us to? It takes us all the way to the end of the first bracha. Now, if you're benching with a Zimun, so how many brachas now are you saying? Three in total. Meaning bracha number one is Zimun, which includes Hazan Esakol. Bracha number two is Noda. Bracha number three is Rachem. Perfect. If you're benching alone, how many brachas are you saying? Well, you're obviously not going to say Zimun. And included in that is also the beginning of, not the beginning, the entire first bracha. So you're only left with the brachas of Noda and Rachem. Good. That's bracha number one. And the one who says three and four says that Zeman only goes up to Nevarech. And now again, we're going to plug it in. It works beautifully. If we're benching without a Zeman, where do we start with? Hazan. And now it's Hazan and Noda and Rachim, that's three brachas. If we're benching with a Zeman, what is that? That's four. Because it's the bracha of Zeman. Remember, I said this yesterday. Here we are. The Gemara right here is telling us that Zeman is in fact a bracha. So the bracha of Zeman is a bracha, that's one. Hazan is two. Noda is three. Rachim is four. And that now is our four brachas. That is how the two brises would work out if what we're saying is right. So the Gemara says, lo. So the Gemara says, not necessarily Rav Nachman Mataros Latame, Rav Sheshes Mataros Latame. Meaning that Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes will tell you that I can hold like either of the brises. Rav Nachman Mataros Latame Dekolei Amma Nevarech. Rav Nachman will tell you that everyone is of the opinion that all these brises are in agreement with me that Zeman only takes us up to Nevarech. Mandam Mishal Shvarba Shapir. So the one who said three and four, as we explained. Mandam Ishtaim Vishalosh Amlacha. Hacha Bebrachas Poal and Maskina. The one that says two and three, that's talking about the unusual circumstance where you're benching as a worker. When you're benching as a worker, what happens to your benching? It gets abbreviated. Da'amar Mar Posech Bazan. When a worker is benching, so here's his abbreviated form of benching. So you're going to open up with the bracha of Hazan and kolo bonu yishlam bebirchas haaretz. And what's going to happen is brachas number two and three are going to get folded together. Now what the nusach is, we don't know. The Gemara doesn't tell us the nusach of how these two brachas look like when they're folded together. But nevertheless, now you're going to have not three brachas of benching, but you're going to have two brachas of benching. So that is birchas po'alim. Now if they're benching alone, that's two brachas. And if they're benching with Zeman, so add the bracha of Zeman, that's three brachas. Good. That is how Rav Nachman will explain everything. Rav Sheshet's Mataritz Latameh. Rav Sheshet now will explain both brachas based on his position. Again, refresher. According to Rav Sheshet, Birchas of Zeman takes us to the end of Hazan. So now, how is he going to explain all these brachas where there are an option of two, three, or even four brachas? So, Dekuli Amen Hazan Manda, Mishlai Mishal Shapir. So the bracha that says two and three, where it's very good. Right, two brachas again. We're taking bone brachamav Yushalayim Amein and leaving that out of the discussion because it's not a bracha daraisa. So now, what does that leave us with? The first bracha that says two and three, as we explained, meaning according to Rav Sheshes, two when you're benching by yourself, three if you're benching with a zimun. Umanda Marshal Shvar Bakasar Vatova Meitiv Daraisa He, and the bracha that says three and four. How come he has an additional bracha? Because he happens to be of the opinion that the bracha Vatova Meitiv, right, the fourth bracha of benching, is in fact a din d'oraisa. By the way, just, I'm sorry, editing my own, what I said just moments earlier. I said bona brachamav is out of the discussion. I didn't mean that. That was wrong. In other words, that's the third bracha of venturing. That's the end of bracha of rachim. I meant hatov ametiv. Okay, sorry. Go back and just, you know, quickly edit what I said moments earlier. Anyway, okay, so what do we have right now? We are at the end of this particular sugya, and the way Rashi has just explained it is rather amazing. What we just have is a machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, and the way Rashi explains it, where's the line that we're going to draw between Zimun and quote-unquote benching? Where does Zimun end? When does benching begin? And according to Rashi, we have a machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says that the Nevarech is the end of Zimun. And Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hazanes Haolam, that's the beginning of benching. That is the Shita of Rav Nachman. And according to Rav Sheshes, what you have is something just almost unbelievable. And that is that Zimun goes all the way to the end of Hazanes Hakol, and then benching starts with Noda. And if you're benching with a Zimun, so then it's going to sound like the way we normally say it. It's just in terms of where the line we draw, it's after Hazanes Hakol and it starts with Noda. If you're benching without a Zimun, so the way we just learned the sugya together, according to Rav Sheshes, it means where do you start? You start with Noda. Because the first bracha, that's connected to Zimun. And you're not benching with a Zimun. So you're going to start with Noda. That is the sugya as we have laid out over here. Now, the reaction should be, that can't be. It can't be. Okay, good. So Tosos, see the second Tosos on the Amud, where Tosos loses his mind. So Tosos writes, Perish Rashi, Mam Timan Azam, Vazam Bechlal Shnaim, Enem Avarchem Azam, Velo Nihira. So Tosos says this can't be. The Berchas Azan Daraisa. Okay, Danny, right, that's it. You and the Balei Atosfos. So the Bracha of Azan is a Din Daraisa. Ve'ech Yachid Pater Mina. And an individual is not going to say the first bracha of benching. Ve'od Hakayim Alan Kerev Sheshes B'Yisurei. So, and not only that, but when it comes to Yisur V'Heter, now, again, brachos over here, which category to fit it under? You know, it's kind of hard to say, but it's not Mamonos. Okay, so we're going to put it under the category of Yisur V'Heter. Yisur V'Heter is more like religious law. So, obviously, brachos is religious law. So, it falls under the category of Yisur V'Heter. And we follow like Rav Sheshes. Uli Didei Yachid Omer Shnayim. And according to Rav Nachman, sorry, according to Rav Sheshes, you say two brachos. And do you know that every time that we describe benching, we did so numerous times so far. In the sixth parak, we described it. In the seventh parak, obviously, it is the main topic of the seventh parak. And do you know what we call it every single time? We call it shalosh brachos, meaning because it is, by definition, three brachos. And that first bracha, of course, is azan. And now, according to Rav Sheshes, you're not going to be saying that bracha most of the time when it's the very definition of what benching is. Oh, maybe every time the Gemara describes it, it's describing it because you're with a Zimun. Tosfos says, I don't want to hear that. That's really forced. Tosfos does not let this one go. And Tosfos says, and look around. Do you see anyone skipping the first bracha of benching? Do you see anybody doing that? Tosfos says, no, of course not. Later in this parak, we're going to be darshaning the words of the pasuk, connecting it to the brachos. It really goes back to his first point, which is that it's a din daraisa. And we have a drasha, and Rav Sheshes is not going to hold by the drasha? Okay. So Tosfos goes about and gives a totally different pshat in our Gemara over here. See the rest of Tosfos. For his pshat in the Gemara, it takes us down an entirely different path. I'm not going to go finish the Tosfos right now and learn Tosfos' pshat. But obviously, it's very easy for me to say Tosfos is not like Rashi's pshat of the Gemara. He has a very difficult time with it. Okay, I saw some defenses of Rashi. I myself also tried to defend Rashi on another occasion. Okay, anyway, we're going to go on in the Gemara, but it's a really interesting piece of Gemara, certainly as understood by Rashi.
Do you think Rashi really actually did that himself?
I don't think so. Right, in other words, like Tosfos' point. Okay, right. Amar of Yosef Teda. Okay, we're back in the Gemara. We're about seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the last five words of the line. We are now going to be discussing the following. The final bracha of benching atov ve'ametiv. So we just saw the Gemara alluded to this that it's a machlokus whether that is a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. Meaning, let's start off nice and simple. Benching is a din d'oraisa. There is a mitzvah d'oraisa to bench after you have a meal of bread. Good. That's easy. What is benching? So it's three brachas. Now, I'll tell you a part that's a little bit confusing, and I also don't have, like, really my head wrapped well around this idea, but we're going to learn later in the Masechta. Moshe is responsible for authoring the first bracha, Yoshua the second bracha, and Davin and Shlomo the third bracha, because if you look at the themes of each of the three brachas, they fit into, historically, the tekufa of Moshe, Yoshua, Davin and Shlomo. Good. And we could do that right now. In fact, we don't have to wait till later. Meaning the first bracha is sustenance. Moshe was in the desert 40 years with the man. Good. Hazanah Sakol. Second bracha is Eretz Yisrael. It's good. That's Yoshua entering, conquering Eretz Yisrael. The third bracha is Beis HaMikdash. Good. That is David and Shlomo building the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So thematically, that works. I always have a hard time just understanding, wrapping my head around, is that if those three brachas are Daraisa, yeah, what did they say before Yoshua came on the scene? What did they say before David and Shlomo came on the scene?
Exactly.
Good. Okay. So I don't have... I beat you now to the question because I don't have a good answer. I don't have a good approach. Okay. It obviously deserves a good approach. Okay. I feel bad I don't have anything to say. Good. Anyway, but benching is three brachas. And benching min haTorah is three brachas. That we know. Now, after we finish the third bracha, so what happens? So as we already discussed in yesterday's daf, we say Amen. Okay. And then we make a fourth bracha, and that's the bracha Tov HaMeitiv. Now I'm gonna leave alone the history for now because I know it's coming up in the Gemara in terms of the history behind the fourth bracha. So I won't do that now. Also, I want to incentivize you to come back. So we'll discuss shortly, a couple days from now, where exactly is the source? What's the history of that fourth bracha, and why was it added? Anyway, in the Gemara right now, what we're going to do is we're going to just cite proofs that this is not a bracha min haTorah, it's only a bracha min derabanan. Although Gemara just moments earlier entertained the idea that it is a bracha min haTorah, okay, but the quote-unquote normative approach is that it's a really a bracha min derabanan. And with that stated, Amar Rav Yosef Teda, Da'atov me'amitav lav daraisa. So it's not a din daraisa, shari pola mokir mosa. So we know that the workers take it out. Now, we just saw that. That when the workers work, so again, we said this yesterday, just going to quickly repeat today, their time is not their money, it's somebody else's money. They're on the clock, they're employed by somebody else. So the Chachamim, in understanding that this person needs those workers, so therefore he allowed them to say, the Chachamim allowed them to say a shorter version of benching, and what gets cut out, Atov Ma'amativ. Why? Because it's only a Bracha Midurabanan. I'm Rav Yisrael Bar Shmuel Bar Matam Mishmai Durab Teda Atov Ma'amativ Lav Daraisa. So I know that Atov Ma'amativ is not Daraisa. How do I know that? Based on a halachic consideration. Sharei Posech Baba Baruch Ve'in Chosein Baba Baruch. Because look at the structure of Atov Ma'amativ. Atov Ma'amativ opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, and it doesn't end. There's no chasima. And now understanding the system of brachas is going to help us understand this fourth proof, and the Gemara tells us right now. Kiditanya will learn from the following brisa. Kol ha-bracha she kulam posech ben babaruch v'chosem ben babaruch. When it comes to brachas, standard bracha opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, then whatever the topic is, and then there's a chasima. And how does the chasima work? It opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, and then with a signature of whatever the theme of that bracha was. That's your standard bracha. Now that you have the standard bracha, what are there? Exceptions, because there are always exceptions. Chutz. Birchus aperus and birchus amitzvos. Birchus aperus and birchus amitzvos. Rashi writes over here, they are very short brachas because they're so punctuated. So therefore, it's staccato. So therefore, it's just Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, and then whatever you have to say over the fruit or over the mitzvah. So therefore, they don't follow the standard of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam paragraph and then a chasima. They're just too short. And birchas mukhal chaverta. And also brachas mukhal chaverta, when I have a series of brachas together, so then after the first bracha, the second and any bracha beyond does not open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. Think about benching. First bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hazanah Olam, and then it has a chasima, and then the next bracha, no delacha, and the next bracha, rachem. So we see that when it's a bracha, smuchal chaverta, so any of the subsequent brachas of the series does not require an opening of Baruch Atah Hashem. Now, we can pause over here in the Braisa because now the proof has been made. Look at benching. So you open up with Baruch Atah Hashem, that's bracha number one, second bracha, no, the third bracha, rachem, and the fourth bracha, opens up with Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. Now, if in fact was part of the original series, so then it shouldn't be opening up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. So, quite frankly, the point has now been made. It's just a halachic evidence that this bracha is not a bracha d'oraisa, it's a bracha d'rabbanan. Let's just go back to the bracha now. Let's finish up the bracha. Ubracha achrona shebekriyas shema, and the final bracha of kriyas shema, emes v'yatziv, in the morning, emes v'emunah at night. That also does not open up with Baruch Atah Hashem. Now, why not? So this is a hotly debated topic. You could say simply, and Tosfos in fact here does, that it's also a bracha smucha l'chaverta, meaning what is it? It's a series of brachas. Now, the difficulty with that is that there is a huge pause between bracha number two and bracha number three. So bracha number two, Ava Rabba, Ava Zolam, and then bracha number three starts after Shema. So you have three paragraphs of Shema that separate. You could argue, Tosfos in fact does argue, that those three paragraphs of Shema do not separate, meaning that's part of the fabric of these series of brachas. Anyway, yesh mehem sheposech mehem b'baruch ve'in chosem b'baruch, v'yesh mehem shechosem mehem b'baruch ve'in posech mehem b'baruch. So now the Gemara makes its point as we are on the top of mem vav amud beis. Hatov ha'meitiv posech b'baruch ve'in chosem b'baruch. Now look at Tov ha'meitiv. It opens up with Baruch Atah Hashem. It doesn't have a chosem b'mechlal. The bracha b'fnei atzmahi. So that now is going to be another proof that this bracha is a bracha b'fnei atzma. Okay, I'm not going to go through this right now, but I will highlight, if you take a look at the Tosfos on the bottom, Mem Vav Amud Aleph, so the Tosfos over there, so he really goes to work. We have now laid the ground rules of a bracha. Every bracha, standard bracha, opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, with the paragraph of whatever its topic is, followed then with the chasima Baruch Atah Hashem, and then conclusion. And Tosfos says there are a lot of exceptions to this rule. And Tosfos says, is that true by all brachos? And I spent some time last night with this Tosfos, right? I'm not going to go through it, but 1, 2, 3, I'm just counting the number of exceptions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He goes through about 9 different times in the world of brachos where it doesn't seem to follow the rules as outlined by the Gemara over here. And what he tries to explain in the course of that Tosfos is, how come we're not following the rules? And so Tosfos basically takes us through and gives what he feels is a suggestion, an explanation for the number of times where we don't seem to be following the rules that the Gemara just outlined in terms of what a standard bracha looks like. So it's an interesting Tosfos. Strongly recommend it. All right, post off. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak. We are on the Amud Beis, 3 lines from the top. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak Teidat Tov Meitiv Lav Darei Sashari Okr Nosav Bebeis Ha'Avel. Now, what happens to the bracha of Atov Ameitiv? It's taken out of the base Avam. I told you earlier today, here it is. Second time this morning that we're going to be seeing Nusach together. So there's a Nusach that's said in the base Avam. When you're benching in the base Avam, so you don't make the bracha Atov Ameitiv, but it's going to get modified. Now, if you think about it, it really makes sense. Meaning, what is the bracha Atov Ameitiv? Akash Baruch Hu, you're good, and you do good for others. Now, the person, the base Avam, you're in the base Avel, and so, obviously, it's good, but it's hard to see the good when you just lost a Karov. So, out of recognition of that fact, so it got modified. Now, how it exactly get modified, we're going to see right now in the Brisa. But the fact that now you could play around with it, what does that show us? Once again, it's a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa. Kizitanya, another Gemara here quotes the Brisa, Mahim Omrim Bebeis Avo. So, what exactly is going to be the nusach of that fourth bracha in the Beis Avo? So, according to the Tanakhama, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hatov Ha'Meitiv. By the way, I'm sure you noticed, I didn't say this so. That fourth bracha of Atov Ha'Meitiv is not just Atov Ha'Meitiv. It's a little bit longer. It's an extended version of Atov Ha'Meitiv. Okay? We'll address that a little bit later on. Not today. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Baruch Dayan Ha'Emes. So, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it's Dayan Ha'Emes. Meaning, it's supplanted. Take out Atov Ha'Meitiv and just simply replace it with Dayan Ha'Emes. Right? He's Matzdik as a Din. He recognized that Akash Baruch Hu is just and this world is operating with justice and we don't understand it, but we're Matzdik as a Din. So so over here that's what you do with the fourth bracha. Now I mentioned earlier, I'll say it again right now. We don't do that. Meaning we don't do whatever the Gemara is suggesting over here, we don't do it. So why don't we do it? It's a mystery of halacha in terms of, or at least it's a mystery to me. Others may have suggested something, but it's a mystery to me why it is that we don't bench in the base Avel as is instructed in the Gemara right here on today's daf. So now, Hatova Meitivin Dayan Emes Lo. So the Gemara is bothered by the Tanakama. Tanakama, really, in the base alpha, you're going to just simply say Atov Ameitiv with no recognition that there's a need here for Tzidik Hadin. So Ela Ema Af Atov Ameitiv. So according to the Tanakama, you're also saying Atov Ameitiv, and not just but you're also saying Dain Haimis. Okay, I'm not really sure what that bracha is going to sound like when it's incorporating both Atov Ameitiv and Dain Haimis. Okay, anyway, the Gemara follows all this up with a story, but the point has been made. Meaning the fact that the bracha can be modified or even changed is certainly indication, it seems to be proof positive, that this is a bracha midrabbanan and not a bracha min haTorah. So the Gemara, just quickly to summarize, the Gemara now has given three proofs that the fourth bracha of benching, Atov Ameitiv, is a bracha midrabbanan, not a bracha daraisa. And again, those three proofs are, number one, the workers take it out. Number two, it doesn't follow it's not a series of brachas, because if it was a fourth of a series of brachas, it wouldn't open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. And finally, number three is that in the Beis Avel, it is either modified or totally supplanted. Okay. Story. Marzucha ikla be Rav Ashi isre be Milsa. So Marzucha went to the house of Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi, so the Gemara has euphemisms to describe when he's sitting in, when he's in Avelos. So isre be Milsa, just simply something bad happened. Okay, it's a euphemism, meaning he was in Avelos. So Pasuk Baruch Atov Ameitiv, and so here is now how the fourth bracha sounded like when he made it, in the Beis Avel. In other words, he was leaning in the benching, and he got to the fourth bracha, and it sounded like this, Atov Ameitiv, Akash Baruch Hu is good, Kel Emes, Dayan Emes. Oh, so here, by the way, it incorporates both ideas, of Atov Ameitiv and Dayan Emes. And Shofei B'tzedek Lokech B'mishpat, Akash Baruch Hu takes in justice, V'shalit Ba'olamo, and he rules the world, la'asos bo kirtzono, doing his will. Ki kol derachav mishpat, all the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are just, she'akol shelo v'anachnu amo, v'avadav v'chol anachnu chayvim la'odos lo levarcho, and we have to bench HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. Go depratzos b'yisrael, hu yigdor esapirtza hazos b'yisrael l'chayim. And the one who closes in the fences, so he should close in this fence. In other words, a description of nechama, of comfort. That is the nusach of the fourth bracha benching in the Beis Avel. Again, where did it go? I don't know. I don't know where the bracha went. It's not in any siddur. You're not going to find the nusach. I don't know. It's not said. It's not done. Okay. Again, it's somewhat of a mystery. Leheichan hu chozer. Okay. Let us read the Gemara like Rashi. Right. I did that in the Amud Aleph. Let's do this on the Amud Beis. The Gemara asks a question. Where does he go back to? Okay, where are we right now? What's the Gemara's question over here? Look at Rashi. Leichanu chozer. Mi shenitztaref lezimun. Somebody who was a participant of a zimun. V'amr le'el aliba derev sheshes bracha zimun adazan. And we learned earlier that according to Rav Sheshes, the bracha of zimun extends to azan. Right? This is Rashi being consistent with what he said earlier. So, and what does he have to do? Remember, we learned in yesterday's daf? They wanted a bench. The two wanted a bench. He's like, I don't want it right now. So two forces the one. So good. So he has to stop eating. And he has to respond to benching. Okay. And now, after they bench, he can continue eating, and he'll bench later on. So where does he pick it up in his benching? That, says Rashi, is the Gemara's question. So where does he go back now to benching? Good. Now, this is Rashi consistent with the way he explained the Gemara in the Amud Aleph. Now, le'echenu chozer, Rav Zvid mishmei dabai amar chozer l'rosh, v'rabbanan amri l'makam shepasak, v'ilchisol l'makam shepasak. And so the Gemara says it's going to be really contingent on what we learned earlier. According to Rav Nachman, where Zimun ends with the words, nevarach shachan mishalo, and the response, Baruch Shachan Mishlov Tevochayinu. So that means now that's the end of Zimun. So later on, when this person now, who stopped for the two and responded to the benching, and now he later on is going to bench on his own, so he's going to start with the words, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hazeh Nasa Olam. According to Rav Sheshes, no, that was part of Zimun. So where does he start? He starts with Noda. This is Rashi, consistent with what he said earlier. Tosus is going to be happy with this explanation of the Gemara? No way. You can't imagine. If he wasn't happy on the Amud Aleph, you think he's going to be happy on the Amud Beis? He quotes the Rashi, and he notes that this is a difficult way to explain the Gemara, but again, it's the same difficulty that he had on the Amud Aleph. Okay, and let's finish up today's daf with the following. Okay, a side-by-side comparison of the Persians and the Bnei Bava, and the Jews of Bava. Now, over here, when it's describing the Persians, I'm assuming that over here, the Persians over here meant the non-Jewish Persians, meaning the people indigenous to the lands that surrounded them. I'm assuming that that's the way to understand the Gemara, although it will be a little bit strange because we're describing the Persians washing their hands, Maim Rishonim, okay? So that part is a little bit challenging, but nevertheless, a side-by-side comparison. Amar le'Reish Galusa le'Rav Sheshes. So Reish Galusa says the following to Rav Sheshes. Alpha Gav de Rabban Kashisha. Now, I know the Chachamim, Chachmei Yisrael, so they are literally older, but older over here meaning they're wise. I know they're wise. However, Asam Parsai, but those Persians, Besar Chisuda Bekiya Minaychu, they actually have more Bekiyas, meaning their etiquette, their demeanor, their mannerisms during the meal, it's better than that of Chachmei Yisrael. Okay. Now, it's fair to say, but this is a little bit of conjecture, but I'll say it, that the Reish Galusa over here is not exactly, he could be a little bit more sympathetic to the Persians. It was a political position. There were Talmidei Chachamim who assumed the position of Reish Galusa, but not always. It happens to be that, you know, I don't know anything about this particular Reish Galusa, right? If I wasn't clear, by the way, the Reish Galusa is basically the in English they call him the Exilarch. He was the head of the Babylonian community. It was the highest political position that existed within the Jewish community within Babel. Okay, so fine. So because over here it is strange that he openly admits, you know, Chachmei Yisrael are good, but the Persians, as it relates to meals, they're better.
You're not supposed to be right.
The comparison is strange, and his position is strange. But again, it could go to the idea that he was a little bit more sympathetic to them. Okay. Anyway, Bizman changed de mito. So when two people are sitting together, now in order to understand this, understand that back then, even for the Jews, so we existed with clear hierarchy, right? We now, to a certain degree, Baruch Hashem, but we live in America, right? All men are created equal. Like we don't. It's hard for us to subscribe to such a hierarchical society. But back then, everything was clearly outlined who was above who. There was a totem pole back then. And so, with that stated, just when two people are getting together, Gadol Mesa Baro, so you have the Gadol, the number one on the totem pole, so he sat at the head, and the second one was above him. Now above him, what does that mean? We're discussing horizontal, not vertical over here. So what it means is that when he's lying down, remember, they lie down their left-hand side, so the one that's above him, meaning the one that's towards his head. So in the construction that we have here around the table, so it would be Dr. Zagi. So that he right now is above me. Good. Uvizman Shem Shalosh. Now, what if there are three? Gadol Meisav Be'emsa. So now you're going to have the Gadol Be'emsa. Sheni Lo Lamala Heimenu. Now, for the Persians, nothing changes. Meaning the second in command, so he's going to be towards his left. And Shlishi Lo Lamata Heimenu. And number three is going to be to the right. Okay. Amar Le V'chi Ba'ishto Ba'adei Matar Terutzei. V'yosiv Umishai Ba'adei. And so now, so the Rav Sheshes is challenging. So good. So now I'm lying down to my left, and right now in this configuration, so Dr. Zagi is now to my left, and I want to talk to him. So I'm not looking at him. So how am I going to speak to him? So that means I'm going to have to now sit up to speak to him. And you're calling that a good system? So I'm really shani parsai demach v'lei b'mechok. So he says the Persians, their form of communication. So they signal to each other with hands. They had some sort of sign language in which they spoke. Okay. Mayim Rishonim Mehechan Matchilin. Now the way Rashi understands this, we're still describing the Persians. Where do they start their Mayim Rishonim? Now I know this is where I get a little bit confused because Mayim Rishonim, meaning what for them that's what, a hygienic wash? Maybe. Okay, whatever. So Mayim Rishonim Mehechan Matchilin, where do they start their Mayim Rishonim? Mamarlei Minagadol. So they start with number one. Number one washes his hands first. Yeshev Gadol v'Yishmor Yadav Ashenot Lim Kulan. And so Rav Sheshes once again challenges. Well, I don't understand. So he's going to wash his hands, and now he's going to wait around. Now again, this is where again I get confused because we're talking about Mayim Rishonim like as in they're washing their hands halachically. So if that's true, in other words, the Gemara over here is sensitive to what? That they can't talk. I mean, if it's just a hygienic wash, you could talk after you wash hygienically. So.
I,
be butzer for everybody.
I understand, but we're talking about Persians right now.
He's not talking, he's still starting to eat.
Okay, right. I think maybe that could be. Okay, anyway. So, Kulan, sorry, Shinotlin. Kulan, Amrle la'alter maisi taka kameh. So the Gemara says, no, you didn't understand. The gadol washes, and then they serve him. And so therefore he doesn't have to wait. Okay. May machron mehechem atchilin. Now, again, more follow-up questions. So the Rosh Hashanah asked the Resh Galusa, where do they start Mayim Achronim? And again, I go back to my point that I said already a couple of times. What are they doing Mayim Achronim for? But again, this could easily be explained as a hygienic wash. Right? The meal's over, you want to wash your hands. So where do they start? Amalei min ha-katan. And they start from the katan. And again, Rosh Hashanah challenges. V'gadol yasevi v'yadav mezuhamos ha-shanot l'nkulan. And now what? And now the gadol is going to sit there with dirty hands until he's going to be waiting now for the wash, for the post meal wash. And again, as a gadol, they don't take the table away from him until they're ready to wash his hands. Okay, so this is all a description. Resh Galusa is praising the Persians. Look at them. Look at their etiquette in the meal. They're so good. Rav Sheshis' response to it, you can already guess, but you don't have to guess because the Gemara is going to tell us. Rav Sheshis says, look, I know about brisas. Meaning, as far as I'm concerned, Chachmei Yisrael, brisas, that really is what I feel to be the proper etiquette. The time we learned in the brisa, Ketzat Seder Haseba. Okay, we saw another version of this back in the sixth parak. So, Ketzat Haseder Haseba, Bizman Shein Shnei Mito, so when there are two, so God Amei Sabrosh, V'Shenei Lo Lamata Amenu. So the number two would go now and sit by his feet. And that way it facilitated better communication between one and two. Bizman Shem Shalsh Mitos, Gadol Mesa Barosh. Now when there are three, the Gadol's at the head, Shenilo Lamalahimenu. So here now it's actually going to look like the Persians. So now the number two is going to be at his head side. And Shlishilo Lamata Himenu. And the number three, well, he's going to be on his feet side. Mayim Rishonim Matzchilim Min HaGadol. Mayim Rishonim starts with the Gadol. Mayim Achronim Bizman Shem Hey Matzchilim Min HaGadol. Now when there are five people there, you start with the Gadol. Uvizman Shem Meya. Now, when there are 100, Matchilam and Akatan ad Shemagim Eitzohe. So, what you're going to do now is as follows. So, for 100 people, so basically, you're going to wash 95 of their hands. Order, seemingly not, doesn't matter. And now, once you get to the last five, now Chosen Matchilam and Hagadol. And what's so specific about the number five? So, my best guess would be that by the number five, you're on one hand recognizing his godless. On the other hand, you're not making him wait too much. Ulamakom shemayim achronim chosnim l'sham bracha chozeres. And the Gemara says, now the one who's given mayim achronim, that's the one who's benching. And the Gemara says, yeah. And on this, the Gemara is going to repeat a story that we already saw earlier in the Masechta. Mesayle l'rav da'am rabichei barashi amarav kolanoto yado b'achrona tchila hu mezuman l'bracha. The one who does mayim achronim first, he's the one who is mezuman l'bracha. That is code for you're going to be leading in the Zeman. Now, Rav, Rabbi Chiyahava Yasvibu Sudasa, Kamid Rabbi. So we get a repeat of the story, but it's appropriate now to repeat the story. And that is that both Rav and Rabbi Chiyah were sitting in front of Rabbi. Amalei Rabbi LaRav, Kom Mashi Yadech. So Rabbi gives instructions to Rav, go wash your hands. Rav didn't understand why he was instructed to wash his hands. He's looking around. My hand's dirty. Am I eating too much? What's going on over here? Chazit de Kamirsos. And now his uncle, Rav Chia, who was also there, saw that his nephew was very nervous. So, Amalei Bar Paschi, Ayin Bebrichos Mezonah Kamarlach. You didn't understand, Rabbi. Rabbi was just instructing you that you're going to be leading in the benching. That's why he's asking you to wash your hands. Okay. Adkan, let's quickly recap our daf. We started today with who's the Botzea, who's the Mezamein. The Balabais is Botzea, so he can give out large pieces to everybody. And Oreich is going to be Mezamein, so he can bench the Balabais. And we went through the Nusach of what that Yehirat son is going to sound like. Number two, Birchas Zeman, where does it end and where does benching begin? And we presented the Gemara today like Rashi, and it is an amazing pshat of the Gemara. Tosfos cannot believe it, but it's Rashi. And Rashi said that according to Rav Sheshes, well, let's start with Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, Zeman ends with the words Nevarach Shachan Mishalov with the response, Baruch Shachan Mishalov Tevo Chayinu. And then that's Zeman ended, and benching begins with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hazanas Olam. According to Rashi, no, the line gets drawn after Hazanas HaKol, and Noda. And that means that according to Rav Sheshes, so when you're benching Zeman, So you're benching the entire benching. But when you're not benching Bezimun, individually, you start with Noda. That is amazing. And Tosos says that's amazing. And amazing, Tosos, not amazing good, amazing like it's really too incredible. And Tosos cannot sustain such a pshat. Tosos does offer his own pshat in the Gemara. I didn't go through it inside. See Tosos for that discussion. That was topic number two. Topic number three of today, Hatova Meitiv, not being a bracha min haTorah. It's a bracha mid derabanan. And the Gemara offered three proofs that it's a bracha mid derabanan. The workers, halachically, it shouldn't need to open up with the words bracha to Hashem because it's a bracha smuchel chaverta. And the fact that it's supplanted at the base oval. That is three proofs that it's not a bracha daraisa. The Gemara quickly asked the question, where does he go back to? And again, Rashi consistently explains that we're describing the person who stopped for Zimun, that so that the two can bench, and then he resumed eating, and now he's going to go back to benching. Where does he go to? So the way Rashi explains it, it goes back to the way he explained the Amonal. If it's just a question of where Zimun ends and where benching picks up. And then the last topic of discussion was a side-by-side comparison of the Persians to Chachmei Yisrael in terms of their etiquette and mannerisms when they're eating a meal.